Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, July 13th, 2016. I am Andrea Daniel, and today my guests are Tanisha Johnson, here to talk about her latest book, Grammatically Incorrect. We're going to learn some things about editing today, and in the second segment, Diana Plopa of Grey Wolf Publishing joins the show to talk about the ins and outs of Grey Wolf Publishing Company that is based right here in Michigan. And first up is Tanisha Johnson, owner, operator, and editor at So It Is Written Professional Writing and Editing Services. She is also the author of three books, 100 Words of Encouragement, Tidbits of Inspiration, When the Smoke Clears, A Phoenix Rises, and her latest book, Grammatically Incorrect, When Commas Save Your Sentences and Your Reputation, is a book that gets into the nuts and bolts of editing for the self-published author. And I want to welcome Tanisha Johnson to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Hello, Tanisha.
Thank you, Andy. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. So let's get into this book, Grammatically Incorrect, When Commas Save Your Sentences and Your Reputation. And Tanisha, I just want to tell you that I love the description of the book that reads, dashes, commas, and colons, oh my, punctuation not only matters, it saves lives. After all, let's eat, comma, Mike, takes on a whole new meaning when written as let's eat Mike. Furthermore, it can lead to years of jail time. But have no fear, the professional editor is here. Grammatically Incorrect, When Commas Save Your Sentences and Your Reputation, not only offers tips that help save you time and money, it explains why women aren't the only ones who don't like periods. Really, Tanisha?
Yes, we went there. We went all the way there.
Yes, you did, and it was wonderful. That is just wonderful. So, yeah, tell us a little bit more about what Grammatically Incorrect is all about. That was just a little tidbit.
I know, right? So this book, Grammatically Incorrect, was birthed out of the request from many authors after I presented authors' conferences and writers' conferences on editing or writing, and people always want my presentation, okay? So this book is a compilation of a lot of things that I've taught over the years. It walks the author through the true self-editing process. You know, I give about 10 tips on self-editing things that you can do to save time and money before you even go to the editorial process, okay? And then it also spells out the true editing process. A lot of people, when they publish their first book, they don't know how to find an editor. They don't know what to look for. They don't know the difference editing. So I spell all of that out in black and white in the book as well. And I also deal with some funny yet common grammatical and spelling errors. there, and your versus your. You know, and of course, they sound the same, and a lot of people confuse them. These things are making it into our manuscripts, and they are killing our reputation.
Okay. So now you've been an editor for how long now?
I've been editing now over 8 years professionally for authors, but I've been in journalism over 15 years now.
Okay. So, you say you talk about the true editing process. When you say the true editing process, are there some myths out there about the editing process that you're trying to clear up and set straight?
So I think people are sometimes offended when they work with an editor and they get the manuscript back and it has a lot of red marks, okay? But again, you paid an editor to do a job. So while you don't want that editor to change your voice per se, if spelling and grammar and punctuation is not your strong suit, if they rework the content a bit to make it sound better and read better, but they still don't change your voice, a lot of authors just really have to learn to be okay with that because you paid someone for a service. So, you know, don't feel like when you get the manuscript back, it should just be clean. You know, most people think, oh, I write perfectly. I write fine. There's nothing wrong with the way I write. You know, but a lot of times I find that people write the way they speak, and a lot of times that won't transfer to the marketplace. You know, so if we're writing a book for the masses, we're writing a book to go overseas, we want our books in Canada, we want our books all over the nation, but we write them just for, like, Detroit. So it spells out the true editing process for a couple of reasons, but also because there are a lot of there's a lot of people who are scamming, you know, and there are scams in every industry. So the publishing industry is no different. But just so authors know what to look for and what to expect, you know, don't release your manuscript without signing an agreement. I have people who email me their whole books, and I'm like, why are you sending me your whole manuscript? You know, we haven't even agreed to do business together yet. You know, so things like that, and knowing how to approach an editor and ask for a sample edit, you know, before we start the work, can you edit two pages for me just so I can get an idea of how you work? You know, those types of things that a new author may not know to ask for.
Okay. So in the process, you have an author and they have a manuscript and they've written it all out and everything. Let's talk about self-editing and why it's important, because you're an editor. People think, I believe, and I know this to be true actually, so it's not just based on belief, but people think that they can just, you know, write it out as is and then hand it to an editor, mistakes and all, you know, just not even having gone over to do the self-editing. So let's talk about the importance of that self-editing process before it even gets to you, the professional editor, and why the writer really actually does need to do that.
Right, absolutely. So it's very important to do a self-edit once you're done with the entire manuscript. I would not encourage an author to edit after every chapter, because then you kind of become stumped with the editing more than the writing. You know, write it all out and do a self-edit. And when I say self-edit, I encourage my authors and my clients to actually print the manuscript out and read it aloud, because a lot of the things that I find, Andy, that they're in there because somebody didn't read it aloud. I know what you meant to say, but all of the words may not have made it, or I have an extra word that I shouldn't have because you were typing really fast. You know, so if you read it out loud, you can say to yourself, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense, or maybe I need to say that differently, or even if something sounds offensive, you may not think it's offensive until you say it out loud. You know, and I also encourage people to have, you know, reading parties. Invite your family and friends over. Invite some professional people who, you know, are unbiased as well, you know, and have them come over and read the book out loud, because they'll be able to give you feedback on, well, this area over here is a little unclear, or I was offended by that. And you don't really want to offend readers in your book. People have paid money. You know, they want to support. But most people, they want a good story, so you want to make sure that you're not offending people in your writing. So I tell people, print it out, read it out loud. Don't read it from the computer, because you'll see what you think is there, because you know what you meant to put there, but it didn't make it to the paper.
Right. Okay. I love the idea about having the reading party where people to come in and read it out loud. Do you think, Tanisha, that writers are intimidated when it comes to self-editing?
I think writers are probably more intimidated by a professional editor than they are the self-editing process. What happens is, you get one of two types of people. You get the type of people who never release the book because they never feel like it's ever good enough. It's like, I have to keep it, and I need to take this out, and I need to add this. So they end up never releasing the book, or it's 10 years later. You know, or you have the person on the flip side who's just like, here's my book, take it and work a miracle, And what a lot of people don't know is there are different levels of editing. So developmental editing, which is really, really expensive, it can range from $12 to $15 a page, is not the same as somebody saying, I'm a content editor, I'm a line editor, or I'm even a proofreader. A proofreader should really be your last step. And I suggest to my clients, I don't suggest it, it's part of my process, that all manuscripts go through at least two rounds of edits. Sometimes my manuscripts go through three and four edits, my own personal book.
Okay, so two or three edits.
Two or three edits. And one of those can be a self-edit, but even if you have a content editor, at the end you still want a proofreader because things happen in transition. Things happen in transition as you're correcting things and, you know, words get cut off and things like that. So at the end, final proofreader. All they're looking for at that point is spelling, grammar, or punctuation, you know, just the big errors that would stand out. They're not changing content.
Okay. And with that particular point that you just made, what kind of editor are you? What, you know, how, where do you fall in line with the levels in the process and the editing?
Sure. So I am not a developmental editor. I am considered a content editor, a line editor, and then I actually have three other editors on my staff where if I do the content editing, I pass it to another staff member to do the final proofreading. But again, people who contract with me, all of the manuscripts automatically go through two rounds of edits. Like, it's not optional.
Okay. It's not optional. That's just it. So what will people – give me three things that people will actually learn from the book.
So I would say you'll learn to become a better writer because ultimately, as an editor and a writer, when I get my editor's remarks back, I want to look at those remarks and those red marks so that I can know what to do differently next. So you'll learn how to become a better writer. Essentially, you will learn some editing tips so that you can help other colleagues as well. You know, not everybody in the world has this book. You may meet people who are writing books and it's their first book, and you can give them some tips, you know, out of the book, and then you can refer them to get the book. But I would also say they'll get that true editing, not the self-editing process, but they'll get that true editing process because a lot of people don't know. They don't know, are you editing electronically or is the editor going to physically mark it up with a red pen? You know, people just don't know. They don't know how to send me the file. They don't know if I need a Word document or a PDF. A lot of people don't know track changes, which is a really cool feature in Microsoft, you know. But there are people out here who still don't know, you know, what track changes is. So, you know, those type of things is what people will gain from the book.
Right. Okay, good. That's a good list of three things that people can learn from the book. And you have a big launch event coming up. Tell us about that.
Sure. So this is the official launch for Grammatically Incorrect. It's also the official launch for my first audio book. I went back to my very first book and did it on audio. And then there is a second edition to 100 Words of Encouragement. It's 100 Words of Encouragement Driven to Dream. So there will actually be three new books at the launch. So I'm up to five now. The launch is next Friday, July 22nd, from 7 to 10. It'll be at the Red Velvet Room in Southfield, which is actually Catty Corner. It's kind of a part of Beans and Cornbread, right off Northwestern and 12 Mile. From 7 to 10, we'll have light appetizers, sweet table, we'll have giveaways and things like that. And, of course, you can come and buy the book.
Wonderful. Okay, so the launch for many products is next Friday,
right,
the 22nd, from 7 to 10. Tanisha, let people know how they can follow you online and your web address and all of that.
Sure. So on social media, it's Tanita Bestseller. The company name is So It Is Written, LLC. I have separate pages just for the business. They can email me, info@soitiswritten.net, info@soitiswritten.net, and the website is www.soitiswritten.net.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Ms. Johnson, bestseller, our time is up. Unfortunately, it's always good to talk with you, and I want to thank you for being a return guest on Michigan Literary Network Radio. And if I can't make it to the launch, I'm going to do my best, but I know it's going to be wonderful.
Thank you so much, Andy.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Tanita Johnston, author of Grammatically Incorrect. And be sure to check her out at her launch event next Friday, the 22nd, from 7 to 10 at the Red Velvet Room in Southfield near Fiends and Cornbread. And our next guest is Diana Plote of Grey Wolf Publishing, and she'll tell us all about her publishing company. And I want to welcome Ms. Plote to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Hello, ma'am.
Hello there. Thank you so much for having me today.
You are so welcome. I'm so glad that you could be here. So let's talk about first why you started your publishing company.
Well, it all began with a dream that happened, you know, when I was 12 or 13 years old, and I told my dad I wanted to make books. Unfortunately, I have a father who loves literature as much as I do. In fact, I got my love of literature from my dad. So as I go through my life, I was fortunate enough about 5 years ago to work for another local startup publishing company, and it was very exciting, and it was a great learning process. However, there were some things there that I didn't really agree with, the way they made their business practices, and I found that I was the only writer on staff, which I found to be a little strange. So I left that company, and my father came to me and said, so, you know what, why don't we just do this? Let's open a publishing company and help local authors create their books. So that's really how it began. In 2013 was when we opened. We are a family-owned business, three generations, my father, myself. My father is Earl Wolf, he's our publisher, myself, and my son Zachary Wolf, who is also a writer, and we just kind of pulled it together. We created some you know, plans about how we wanted to do this, and then we started moving forward. One of the big differences about our company, two things really, is that the first thing is we focus on mentoring authors. So it's not just about bring us your manuscript and we'll print it for you. We have a three-stage editorial process where we walk through the manuscript with the authors. Three separate editors work with each author at each stage of development, and we really mentor them. So we don't tell them when to make changes. Our rule of thumb is we write notes that say things like, consider revising to this because. So that not only do they get the editorial note, but they also get to learn a little bit about the why. Okay. And then the second really different thing about us is that everybody on our staff is a writer in one form or another. Okay. So we're all either writers working toward publication or we are published authors. I thought that was a really critical part of building our business. Because there's a special kind of crazy that goes on in the mind of an author, and you really have to understand that to be able to work effectively with writers and authors.
Right. That's true. That is so true. Is there anything else that's unique about the company?
Well, we do a lot of community service work. We produce six different community service anthologies every year. And basically what happens is we do a call for authors for a particular topic. For instance, our most popular anthology is a book called Write to Wolf. That's W-R-I-T-E to Wolf, W-O-O-F. This is a collection of short stories, poems, and essays about dogs. So each year we put out a call. For authors to submit their work, and we collect these pieces and we edit them with the authors. And then we publish them in this anthology collection. Then the sales from that particular book go to support a charity that supports dogs. we have supported the Almost Home Animal Shelter. It's a no-kill shelter in Southfield. We have supported Leader Dogs for the Blind. That was last year's book. Mm-hmm. This year's book supported Detroit Dog Rescue. So we do six different charities a year and six different focuses a year, and then each focus we choose a different charity because the books, with the wonderment of POD publishing now, the books never go out of print, so they can continue to generate revenue for the charity over a long period of time. So, for instance, you know, the first book in 2013, you can still buy that. And you can still support that charity. Mm-hmm. So it's a long-term focus on community service. Community service is a big part of our company. So,
right. Wonderful. That is a very good intention to have for the work that you do. So tell us about the authors that you've published in addition to yourself.
Well, we've published 68 different authors. We've published 68 books since 2013, and some of the authors have come back to us for a second and third book publication. Mm. So we do have return authors. I believe we have about 50 or 52 authors, and right now I have 19 books in production. So we have a lot going on. We have a lot of fun. We have a team of 15 people. And we all work in community together, and we work as a team, and we have, you know, we like to call it our wolf pack, because we really do work like a family. You know, there is, you know, I'm the one who has to steer the ship and make sure everything stays on target, but we really do work as a unified group. There really isn't a division of hierarchy. So everybody's opinion matters, everybody's experience matters, and we all come together to create possible books that we can.
Okay, excellent, excellent. So if someone wanted to publish with Grey Wolf, how would they get started with the process? What do you want people, what would someone need to do to get with it?
Well, it's really easy. One of the things that, again, is unique about us is we offer what we call a first 50-page review. This is a complimentary review of the first 50 pages of your manuscript. And this is so that you can submit your work, we can review it and give you a comprehensive critique and feedback so that you get an idea, if you're ready for publication, how much work is going to be needing to be done. Is it complex editing, or is it, you know, standard editing? And then it also gives me an opportunity to match the author with the right editor. You know, we want the author of a science fiction novel to be partnered with my Christian editor. That probably wouldn't be a good fit. So that first 50-page review gives us a really good opportunity to take a look at what's going on and to help our authors in the best possible way. That's a complimentary free service that we offer. And you go to our website, and on the homepage, there's a link that connects you to that submission process.
Okay, and give your website address, please.
Okay, it's www.greywolfpublishing.com, and it's GREYWOLFE publishing.com. Again, we're a family-owned business. Our last name is Wolf, so it just came pretty easily for us.
Right, there you go. There it is.
I have to make the distinction. In Minneapolis, there's a long-term nonprofit press called Grey Wolf Press. They are a separate company from us.
Okay.
And so that's why we make the distinction in spelling, because it is a completely different spelling.
Right. Okay. That is really good to know, because you don't want someone going to the wrong company.
Correct. Well, you know, we don't mind being mistaken for them, because they are an incredible press. They do really great work for the literary genres, and they are a nonprofit press. So they're it's nice to be mistaken by them for, you know, every once in a while. But we are a completely different company here in Michigan. And again, it the spelling is important, so it's GREYWOLFE publishing.com.
Right. Now, do you all books, all genres, or do you publish just niche? Are you a niche company?
No, we're a pretty broad range publishing house. It's easier to tell you what we don't publish rather than what we do.
Right.
So
okay.
There's really three different types of books that we don't publish. We don't publish erotica because we are a family-owned business, and we want to keep things as family-friendly as possible.
Okay.
The second thing is that we're not going to publish a book with a title like How to Build an IED in Your Basement.
Okay.
And we're probably not going to publish a book like How to Torture Your Best Friend with Drugs in Your Garage, you know?
Okay.
So those kinds
right.
of things, those are the things that we really don't publish, but really every other genre, children's books, nonfiction, poetry, memoir, science fiction, dystopian, young adult, romance, I mean, really the full gambit.
Okay, that is really good to know. And on another note, quickly, I understand that you have your own radio show that you're producing. Tell us about that.
Indeed, yeah. We've been doing this with Grey Wolf Authors for a while, kind of getting our feet wet and kind of stretching our boundaries a little bit. Starting this month, we're going to be doing it more regularly. We have a blog talk radio station similar to yours, and we're offering an opportunity for authors countrywide, because we can do these over the phone. So across the United States, we're going to be offering an opportunity to reach out to authors, and we're going to do this twice a month on Sundays, starting July 17th, and we're going to do a little half-hour show with each author, give the authors an opportunity to do a little bit of reading from their books, have a Q&A discussion with people who, you know, decide that they want to call in and be part of the production, and we'll have a discussion about craft and that sort of thing. So we'd like to open that up to authors not only in Michigan, but as I say, across the country. And again, you can go to our website, and there's a link that takes you to a little form that you can fill out asking to be part of that program. This is a free promotional opportunity that we're offering to authors. So the only requirement is, are you an author and do you have a book published?
Oh, wow, that is so simple.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of our missions is to help authors really promote their work. And so we thought this was a real natural, easy way to do it. You know, it's low cost. It's free for authors. But you, with the Internet now, you have such a broad range of reach. And all of the shows are archived so that the authors can use them for constant and future promotioning opportunities.
Wonderful. Wow. Thank you so much for doing that. That is so great.
Yeah. Oh, we're happy to do it. I'm hoping that your listeners who are authors will jump on our website and sign up for this opportunity. We've already got about the first two or three dozen shows filled, but, you know, we're constantly looking for more. We want to keep the content up. Again, it's going to be twice monthly. So.
Definitely. Well, all the best to you with this opportunity. It's great, and I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so pleased that you had us. And if I can just maybe say this with your permission, we're going to be having you guys on our show on the 17th. So all of your listeners can jump over to our radio station and take a listen, and we'll talk about what you folks do to really promote the Detroit authorship, because you guys do a wonderful job of that. I'm so proud to be affiliated with you folks.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Diana Plopa. That is great, and we'll be listening in.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So you take care.
All right. Have a great day. And again, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Okay. You're welcome. Good night.
Good night.
And that is it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. Remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at www.motownwriters.com. And you can find us on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on blogtalkradio.com next Wednesday for more literary good stuff. This has been Andrea Daniel for Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you out there for listening. I appreciate you so much, and I want you to have a good rest of your day and live a good story. Good night.